Can I have a mover to open up the closed doors? Councillor Wilson and seconder, Councillor Boyd. Thank you. Yeah, I'm waiting for Janine to do her magic. So that's been, so Councillor Wilson has a procedure motion to open the meeting, and seconded by Councillor Boyd. Can I have anyone for that motion to open the park closed doors? Councillor Constant, thank you. And that's been approved unanimously. Okay, Jenny, do we need to... Okay, so we now moved to go through those two items, CEO. So 13.7 has been 13.7 was moved by Councillor Wilson and seconded by Councillor White and adopted as is, and it was carried unanimously 9-0. Moving forward, we go to 13.8, which has been moved by Councillor White and seconded by Councillor Maywood, and that has also been adopted unanimously. Do I need it? Okay. So for 13.8, that council notes that all submissions proposed to complete the works during the Fremantle traffic bridge closure period and declines to accept any tender received in response to RFT 02-2005-2006 Riverside Road resurfacing, and 3, directs the CEO to notify all tenderers that no tender will be awarded. Thank you. Moving forward to 13.9. Lovely. So, yes, in regards to 13.9?
My question is, why wasn't option 3 recommended to us?
Yeah. Before you answer that, I think it'd be a good idea if the CEO talks about, because I know some of the other elected members maybe weren't party to these discussions prior. That's correct, CEO. Do you want to talk about the report?
I certainly can, and if I miss anything, I'm sure Mr. Koshin can fill in also. So the question was why we didn't recommend option three. Was that correct?
Option two.
Well, option three, at the minute, is one of the two recommended options. So you ordinarily don't get an either-or. I accept that. But option, in the recommendation, option, or point one, is actually option three. That makes sense? And then it's up to council whether or not it wishes to resolve point one, with or without that date, or indeed point two, which is obviously not to award superannuation contributions.
And the CEO, the reason why we had alternatives in there, because we want council to decide in regards to what options are best, including what dates may be also be applicable as well?
Correct, through the chair. We felt as officers it wasn't really our place to make a recommendation as to whether or not superannuation contributions should be paid. It's a decision of council for council members, noting that individual council members can always opt out even if council resolves. And in terms of the date, it was because we're partway through this financial year and these contributions haven't as yet been budgeted, we just recommended it would commence in a full budget year. That said, as is put into the report, if council wishes to choose an earlier date, that can be accommodated through the mid-year budget process.
So my suggestion is I will be asking for a mover, and in that mover, put forward what date you would accept and what option and what date you would accept. So because this, it is open, this will be open for a discussion. Okay, so can I have a mover, please, for item 3.9 to Councillor Maywood? Thank you.
Question.
Is that a question or you're moving it?
No, I'd like to move, but am I able to change the date? Or do I have to propose an alternate motion?
I'm just say the motion as you would see it, including the change of date.
Okay, resolves by absolute majority. Well, literally the exact same as the first point, but instead of effective from 1st of July 2026, the payment be backdated to the 18th of October 2025.
So the motion is to resolve item one with a back date to, is that correct?
Shall I give reasoning or?
We need a seconder, sorry. Councillor Kakata is a seconder. Councillor Maywood, can you speak to it?
Okay, sorry, I've got a few notes. So firstly, in terms of support for providing superannuation payments to council members. So the reasoning behind WALGA initially supporting this and suggesting it and making it mandatory for Band 1 and 2 councils was that they wanted to attract people to council, especially young people and women, to increase the diversity on council, and also because it just aligns councils with broader workforce standards that people do receive super payments. So for the Band 1 and 2 councils, super payments are mandatory and they are effective from October 2025, which is to align with the new council term. So as a new council comes in, everyone on the new council receives super payments, and I think that would be a good policy to adopt. So that would align us, I guess, with the more general recommendation of the policy. And I think also if we are choosing the mandatory date, for example, the 1st of January 2026, I see no reason why we can't align ourselves to other councils and backdate it to the 18th of October.
Sorry, Councillor, we're just making sure we've got the right wording for your motion. So we want to make it effective from the 18th of October, yeah? Okay, so delete that. So that's how it should read? We just make sure it's right on the report. Thank you for disturbing you. Anything further?
No, nothing further.
Councillor Cutter, thank you.
Thank you. Very similar to what Councillor Maywood was saying, I think obviously the recent election results have resulted in more increased diversity in terms of age, gender on the council, which is a good outcome and results in a financial impact to the budget because there is potentially more superannuation payable. But the principle behind why super is paid, I think it seems appropriate that therefore it is aligned with the council terms rather than an arbitrary date that I know it aligns with budget, but it sort of doesn't align with the intent of bringing it in when you bring a new council in. So hence why I support the adjusted amendment, the adjusted motion that's put forward.
Thank you. Does anyone want to speak against what's being proposed? Does anyone want to speak for the motion that's been proposed? Okay, Councillor Carlson, thank you.
I would like to speak in favour, but also I would like to ask a question of Mr. Kossian, whether he's comfortable with this. I do feel as though it's a very good idea to give councillors superannuation. It just sort of makes sense to me. And I am quite pleased that we have the ability to opt out. And I think that's very appropriate in my case because I'm already receiving a pension. And so for me to be getting superannuation would be just a complete waste of time. And in my role as a deputy state councillor, and I have been to numerous meetings over the last few years, I get all this, I can't opt out, and I get all this super that is of no use to me whatsoever. And then I get a statement from the super company that I've got, you know, maybe $50 or whatever of superannuation and the fees are about $100. So, I mean, it's just a nonsense. Okay. So I'm very, very pleased that we have the ability of opting out. But my question to Mr. Kossian was, from a budget point of view, is that if he's quite comfortable with this starting from the 18th of October?
Through the chair, from a budget perspective, the financial implications are negligible. So, in the officer's report, we think reference amount of 28,000 additional costs for the full year, based on current allowances. So, to backdate it to the 18th of October, additional costs of around 35,000 or thereabouts would be incurred this financial year, which would be relatively easy to address through the mid-year budget review. In terms of the administration of Council Super, we've already undertaken investigations and it can be done very easily through our payroll system. So once elected members complete the relevant superannuation forms, we'll be able to get onto that straight away.
Thank you. Any further questions? Any further comments for and against? Okay. And I sense no further discussion. Councillor May, would you like to close?
Nothing further to add.
Okay. Debate is closed. Then I put that motion that's before you, that Council resolves by absolute majority for the town of Eastern Manager to make superannuation contribution to Council members as per the SGA Act 1992 and Section 5.99B to 5.99E of the Local Government Act, effective from the 18th of October 2025. Anyone for that recommendation, please raise your hand. And that's approved unanimously. Thank you. 1310, which is the appointment of a subgroup to the Southwest Metropolitan Regional. Oh my gosh. Area road group. Okay, before we talk about this, can I have any nominations? We need a sitting member and we need a deputy. Anyone like to nominate? Councillor Brockman, that's a nomination? Yeah, well, that's
Yeah, sure. I'll nominate.
Thank you. So we've got that. Does anyone would like to be deputy? Okay. Okay. Thank you, Councillor Constance. Could we confirm the requirement for the role? If the meetings are during the day? Thank you to the Executive Services, Tech Services Manager. Yeah.
Through the Chair, I've attended one of these meetings and that was certainly during the day and they take place roughly 5 to 6 a year and not necessarily... At a set schedule, but yeah, primarily during the day,
and how long, as I understand it. And how long they go for?
The meeting I went to took about an hour and a half.
Okay, so you okay to with that nomination, Councillor Brockman?
Yes, I'm okay. Is food provided?
It was coffee and biscuits.
Yes, okay, I'll attend. Thank you.
Okay, so therefore we have that motion that's on page... Oh, my gosh, that's on page 154, which has Councillor Andy Brockman as our representative and Councillor Collinson as our deputy. Can I have a mover, please, for that motion? Councillor Cutter, thank you. Thank you. And second, Councillor White, sorry. Councillor Cutter, thank you.
Nothing to add.
Councillor White, thank you. I close the debate. There's no further discussion. Can I raise your hand to accept those nominations before they back out? Thank you. Based on... I don't know if I would do it for less than... Neil, that's all right. Moving forward... Thank you, councillors. Moving forward, 13.11. I also note that I might get the CEO to talk about this, but before we put this forward, it's the recognition of service for council members for those retiring members. CEO.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillors, in particular those who are recently elected, there had been a briefing of council prior to the election, so apologies to those who've heard it before, but importantly for those who hadn't heard it. The issue we found with, in terms of particularly when people have completed their terms of service, whether it be voluntarily or otherwise, there was no means other than ad hoc recognition of those. So we haven't, for example, been able to have any events recognising the three councillors who retired at the last election. The Act and the regulations do provide for gifts to be provided to a retiring council member, as it mentions there, to a maximum of $1,000. So it was felt that develop a policy to actually articulate what this council would approve. That can then be administered under my administration, and we don't have to bring up on a case-by-case basis retiring councillors as to whether or not you want to recognise them. It's a standardised policy process.
Any questions for the CEO? I know it's a policy that was missing from our suite, and it is standard business in other councils to have such a policy. That's correct, isn't it? Okay. I now asked you to go to page 157, which is where the recommendation, and can I have a mover, please, for the recommendation? Councillor Maywood, thank you, and second Councillor Collinson. Councillor Maywood.
Nothing further. I think the report speaks for itself. Thank
you. Lovely. Thank you. Councillor Collinson?
Look, I do think it is good that we're bringing this, because there has been a bit of inconsistencies in the past. In my experience on council, some councillors, when they've either lost elections or retired, have been recognised and others haven't. And I'm thinking of former Councillor Nardi that was on council for a very long time and hasn't actually received any recognition whatsoever. And others that had shorter times have received some recognition. And I'm not blaming anybody for this, but I think it is good to have it in black and white so we've got a fair policy up there and running, and then it's up to the CEO to decide how to implement it.
Thank you, Councillor. Anyone want to speak against it? Do you want to speak for it? Press the button, Councillor Harrington.
Just wondering, the monetary value of this up to $1,000 per year, etc., to a maximum, does that include just a gift or does it allow for a function as well or not?
I think that's in the report.
Through the chair, that's for the gift. The policy does say that council may hold a civic event to recognise as well, as long as it's reasonable, budgeted and consistent with expectations.
Okay. Any further questions? Okay. Councillor Maywood, we're close.
Nothing further.
Okay, nothing further. Therefore, there's no debate. I'll put that motion. That's on page 157. Please raise your hand. And that's been approved unanimously. Thank you. Moving forward to standard business, 13.12, monthly financials for September. Can I have a mover? Councillor Wilson, thank you. Seconder, Councillor White, thank you. Councillor Wilson.
Yeah, for the benefit of newly elected members, I just note that it's not usual that you have two reports, September and